we begin with the details of a shocking crime from a very long time ago.
Well, my father was coming home from work, and he was ambushed, and my father was shot from the head to the waist in his 1963 Chevrolet. All the windows were shot out, and it was 14 hours later when the family was notified.
That's Catherine Walker-Jones talking about the murder of her father, Clifton, in February of 1964, an unsolved case from the brutal days of the civil rights struggle, cases that the Justice Department said it was reinvestigating as part of an aggressive initiative from the Bush era to bring justice to families from quite another era. It was called the Civil Rights Era Cold Case Initiative when it was rolled out in 2007. It is still continuing, but has yet to produce any new indictments. So what's the holdup? Joining us now is Benjamin Greenberg, an investigative reporter for the privately funded Civil Rights Cold Case Project. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning.
And we're also joined by Shyla Dewan, a national correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. Shyla says that since 1994, there have been 20 civil rights cases that have been successfully prosecuted, but the federal government can't actually take any credit for those. Shyla, good morning.
Good morning.
How does the Justice Department or the FBI characterize this notion that there's a holdup or things have moved more slowly than was expected?
They say that they always expected this to take a very long time, that these cases take painstaking work to piece together, and that they're not finished.
What do you think is holding back, or what does your reporting tell you is holding back the federal government in trying to bring these cases? Because when it was announced in 2007, there were some successes to point to.
I think that the criticism from people who watch this very closely is not that the federal government is doing nothing. It's that people expected, once the announcement was made, we're going to take this on, we're going to do this systematically, people expected an all-out intensive manhunt, because the justice officials said, we know that time is running out, we know that people are dying, we know that the window of opportunity to solve these cases is closing, and then families didn't see the intensive action that they expected to see.
Benjamin Greenberg, I mean, the scenario that Shyla is sketching out there is that there are communities all over the United States that were involved in these divisive hate crime battles where there are secrets that still lie dormant and cases that are unsolved, and the Justice Department would come in on a white horse, in a sense, and attempt to really settle these matters. Why has the federal government, in your view, not had the tools that apparently you have been able to use to do exactly what the initiative was supposed to accomplish?
I really couldn't say why they haven't had the tools. I don't really have the insight into their internal operations to know the answer to that question.
But for you, it was as simple as picking up the phone. You actually spoke with Catherine Walker-Jones, who gave those gripping details of the murder of her father in 1964. You picked up the phone and, in a sense, reopened her case. What was that like?
First of all, it wasn't as simple as I would have liked. When I began to pursue the case, I was not yet working with the Civil Rights Cold Case Project. I was simply a freelancer with no affiliation whatsoever, and had no external support. And it took me quite a while to locate her. I took quite a number of phone calls to local contacts in the community in Woodville, Mississippi, quite a number of searches. And when I did eventually find her, it was really an amazing moment. I had no idea how she'd react to this stranger calling her up out of the blue to say that I wanted to talk to her about her father's murder.
Ben Greenberg, I mean, you made quite an impression. Listen.
We've waited forever for Ben. We've waited for that phone call to say, hey, we want to talk to you about your father's unsolved murder. Can you even imagine what we must have gone through? We have not had closure in 46 years.
It's Catherine Walker-Jones talking about the call from Ben Greenberg, our guest, who, in a sense, psychologically reopened a case from 46 years ago, the death of her father. She spoke from New Orleans, Louisiana. Shyla Dewan, before I get a reaction from Ben there, you know, there's a certain tension. I mean, on the one hand, there is a need for families to feel as though something's being done, which is an emotional mission. But there's also the legal mission of actual prosecutions and bringing people to justice. Do these conflict in some way, Shyla?
I don't think they conflict. I think a lot of journalists have said what Ben said, which is, you know, I was just this guy acting on my own. I didn't have the tools that, for example, the FBI would have to pursue this case. So a lot of people are saying, you know, why is it that I can take the FBI files and go back and find witnesses that the FBI hasn't found yet? So there's that aspect of it. There is a sense in which there's closure or justice that can be brought without prosecution. And I think journalists are working towards that, families are working towards that, and the FBI, which when it closes a case, it tries to write a detailed letter to the family, which it doesn't normally do in cases, saying, here's what happened, here's what we know and what we discovered about your case. And it's sort of meant to be a legal document in place of prosecution.
Well, Ben Greenberg, it is possible that Catherine Walker Jones' father's case will remain unsolved, right?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last part of your question.
It's possible that Walker Jones' case will remain unsolved, right?
It is, though solved as in prosecuted or solved as in learning the truth. We still have great hopes of learning the truth and some hope of pursuing justice through the courts.
If there is no justice and no solution, will her emotional sort of enthusiasm at getting your call have been in vain?
I don't think it will have been in vain. There have been moments of reconciliation with members of the Mississippi community that she came from that would not have been possible, and I believe that there may be more. Mm-hmm. She was able to hug a daughter of someone close to the case who she thought had knowledge of her father's murder, a white woman who she didn't think she would ever have cause to even speak to, let alone speak frankly with about what had happened to her father and how it affected her family and how it affected this other person's family.
Well, some warm moments in some very cold cases. The Justice Department on the case. Also, Benjamin Greenberg, investigative reporter for the Civil Rights Cold Case Project, and Shyla Dewan, national correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks to you both.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.